Hare Krishna. You know, when one travels over the big ocean and comes, the Atlantic Ocean it's called, and comes here to America, one actually feels one has come into the land of cold hearts. Cold hearts, not warm hearts. But then when one, so one is a little, oh, America, like this one feels. But when one then comes to the temple and sees the deities all of a sudden and the devotees, you know, in this contrast, a very materialistic country on one side, but on the other side, just such a spiritual place, the kingdom of God. When one sees this by contrast, one begins to really have great, great respect of Srila Prabhupada's amazing contribution that he was able to create not only places but people who take care of these places. And it's a very touching experience. I think when you live here in Dallas, and for you it is an for you it is it's, if you allow me to do it, I'm so expert in this. This is what I've done for. You know, it's called the law of the lever. So if you change the lever, it cannot sink. Like it's a science which you learn over 40 years. It's one, and then you have it. So if one comes in such a situation, one really is filled with gratitude. It's, I wanted to say, when you live at in a temple like this, you come here every day, you know it's as close to you as your breath. You just need to walk for 2 or 3 or 5 minutes and you are there. But and sometimes we might forget when something is so close, we don't think of it. You know, like our breath. Who of you thinks of your breath each day? No? It's just something so natural, so obvious, so you're so accustomed to it that you don't even notice that you have a breath. But if you don't have it, ooh, then you think, where is the next breath? You know, all your attention is in this. So when you come to a place like America and you see a materialistic country and people with expressions full of anxiety and yearning in their faces, then after I've seen this, you come to the temple, oh, you really appreciate it like anything. So I'm very, really very moved to come and see this most spiritually most present deity. I mean, it's really, he's really in there. Krishna's there, Radha is there, but Krishna's really there. Ooh. So very, very nice, and thank you for your attitude of genuine hospitality and kindness. Thank you very much. Today is the sacred day of Nrisimha Chaturthi. And I will talk a little bit about the protection of the Lord in difficult life-changing circumstances. I will speak in a mixture of English and German, and you have to be very, very careful to make sense of what I say despite my heavy German accent. So I request your full attention, that you take something from this lecture. Krishna. translation. When Lord Nrsingadev saw the small boy Prahlad Maharaj prostrated at the soles of his lotus feet, he became most ecstatic in affection towards his devotee. Raising Prahlad, the Lord placed his lotus hand upon the boy's head, because his hand is always ready to create fearlessness in all of his devotees. Purport. The necessities of the material world are four: ahara, nidra, bhaya, and maituna, eating, sleeping, defending, and mating. In this material world, everyone is in fearful consciousness, sada samudvignya dhyam. And the only means to make everyone fearless is Krishna consciousness. When Lord Nrsingadev appeared, all the devotees became fearless. When Lord Nrsingadev appeared, all the devotees became fearless. The devotees' hope of becoming fearless is to chant the holy name of Lord Nrsingadev. Yato yato yami tato Nrsingha. Please. Yami tato Nrsingha. Wherever we go, we must always think of Lord Nrsingadev. Thus there will be no fear for the devotee of the Lord. I would like to translate this in modern ISKCON English. When Lord Nrsingadev appeared, all the devotees became secure. The devotees' hope of becoming free from insecurity is to chant the holy name of Lord Nrsingadev. Yato yato yami tato Nrsingha. Wherever we go, we must always think of Lord Nrsingadev. Thus there will be no insecurity for the devotee of the Lord. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Iti Namine. Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskatyade Shatani. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Shri Advaita Garada Chivashadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Let us hear the verse again. When Lord Nrsingadev saw the small boy, Prahlad Maharaj, prostrated at the soles of his lotus feet, he became most ecstatic in affection toward his devotee. Raising Prahlad, the Lord placed his lotus hand upon the boy's head, because his hand is always ready to create fearlessness in all of his devotees. Kritabhayam means to cause in another fearlessness, or Prabhupada makes this point very clear. One who has taken shelter in the Lord, he can be fearless because he's perfectly secure. For me, as an aspiring transcendentalist, means a devotee is still on his path, Lord Nrsingadev is a very very important presence in my life. And it started in Kabul, Afghanistan, where I could see the need of taking shelter in Nrsingadev to become secure and free from fearfulness. We had operated a school for the Hindu minority, which was running for 1 month, when we ran right into Ramadan, that is the Muslim fasting months. And our efforts and our kirtan spread beyond the school and raised a disturbed eyebrow of the government of Kabul. And not long from there, wherever we went, wherever we walked, we felt the presence of people who were just shadowing us. I don't know if this is proper English. They were coming behind us like an unseen shadow to watch our activities. And before long, we knew that there was something cooking in the government. We had been quite present in Afghanistan, and we had written Prabhupada letters, and he encouraged us to continue with our efforts to spread Krishna consciousness. But we were young and foolish, as we were in those days, and a little bit didn't know where the natural border is, and crossed it a little bit here and there. And so we were informed that the government planned something, an attack on our lives. And that time I became very eager to take shelter, and I found this verse here, which I'm reading today on Nrsingha's appearance day, that the devotee's hope of becoming fearless is to chant the holy name of Lord Nrsingadev. So we chanted more than Nrsingha mantras, but that uneasy feeling which someone feels who is watched by armed people did not leave us. And finally, I just there was a devotee traveling through to India, and I requested him, can you please paint a picture of Lord Nrsingadev? We cannot yet leave. We have some visa complication. So can you? We have to stay, and we have to worship Lord Nrsingadev to become. There's something is going on, and we can feel it. And he painted a picture of Lord Nrsingadev, and we were regularly worshiping this picture. And then one day, it came. The assassinators were before the door. Not before the door, they were on the wall. I had gone outside to answer nature's call, and in the midst of the call, I saw them closing in with daggers on me. And I just screamed, "Let me finish first, please." It was a little shameful situation. Let us die in bravery, I thought. I thought of a trick, of course, but I called them, "Let me finish honorably," and I motioned, and they understood. And then I just didn't finish. I shouted Lord Nrsingadev's name, having full faith in this, and I ran without finishing. It was quite a dirty running, a dirty race for dear life, and came to near where we lived and where I had my bodyguard. And then they were running behind me. They hadn't thought of this, that someone can do a dirty race. then the guard was fighting with them for a long time. He had to go to the hospital. He merely survived. But we felt very strongly that the name of Nrsimhadev had saved us in this very fearful situations where people were there with a deadly intent and daggers. There it was. It was that time where the relationship started with Lord Nrsimhadev. But later I did hear something which I feel is very important. One devotee, one Nrsimha Bhakta, told me, you should not make Lord Nrsimhadev your Shokidar. That is your guard, who has to run in when you are in danger. Lord Nrsimhadev is God. We should not make him serve us, but we should serve him. And this was a very important paradigm shift for myself. I felt in ISKCON the understanding of Lord Nrsimhadev, which is preached with good intentions by our able preachers, needs to be complemented with this, with another aspect of Lord Nrsimhadev. Yes, he is ready to bestow fearlessness upon his devotees, but we should know he is the Lord. Brihat Bhagavatamrita, it is said that that Krishna is Purna Bhagavan, like the full moon, very, very full. And then Ramachandra and Nrsimhadev are also almost Purnam, almost full. They are very, very worshipable for us, not to be used as a chokidar who is hired in dangerous situations, bodyguard, not like that. And I would like to talk a little bit about this aspect today, a little bit more. I'm sure that in the evening we will hear a lot of Nrsimha Katha. Nityananda Prabhu has alerted us that there will be a spectacle. I know you were searching for the right word. You were thinking that it will be quite something. And yes, I think there will be lots of interesting presentations. But today I just wish you all to focus a little bit on Prahlad Maharaj's relationship to Nrsimhadev. Prahlad's relationship is one of a very loving relationship, and the Lord is very, very pleased to respond to this loving relationship. In the Nrsimha Purana, we hear how this relationship is there. You know, when Prahlad Maharaj, he was a little bit out of the box, I could say. Hiranyakashipu, his mighty father, was really disturbed of him. He was the king of the demons, a very, very fearful personality. A personality very, very, very frightening. Sauron is nothing in comparison to him. That is a modern rendition of a demoniac personality. Some of young people will know who that is. Hitler, Stalin, nothing in comparison to Hiranyakashipu. It is said that he was so demoniac and exuded so much demoniac influence that the devatas were afraid. He had captured the throne of Indra in Amaravati, and the devatas remained in hiding. At his mere raising of an eyebrow, oceans would bring forward their planets to offer, not planets, pearls and jewels to offer them to the mighty emperor Hiranyakashipu. And Hiranyakashipu was had only one problem. He was enjoying, like anything, his position. His problem was in the family. Prahlad was very much a devotee of Lord Krishna. Actually, it is described that Prahlad Maharaj represents the process of smaranam. Prahlad would always be found by the emperor under some tree in deep meditation about the lotus feet of the Lord. Hiranyakashipu thought, what is this, this poisonous thorn in my flesh? In other words, in my own family of demons of Lord Vishnu, I have a great devotee of the Lord. But this is intolerable. And we all know he tried after the trying the brainwashing method, you know, giving him to the school and training him by very qualified teachers to become a demoniac politician. After they had failed on this, Hiranyakashipu was so, let me say, so demoniacly inclined that he wanted to kill Prahlad. And one of his schemes was he took his henchmen and they brought Prahlad Maharaj to a cliff and threw him into the ocean. And when he fell on the ocean, they had rocks thrown upon him. Prahlad Maharaj was all the time remembering Krishna. And he was so innocent, it is described, that he thought, my father must be joking with me. He's my father. He cannot have any demoniac intent towards me. We are family. So he thought it's a little rough joking, but it is joyful. So he meditated all this time. And when he was in the ocean, Varuna, who is a great devotee himself, you know Krishna, he had darshan of Krishna, Varuna brought, saw Prahlad Maharaj, who was deeply involved in the trance of meditation, and brought him out to the beach, on the beach. And there, Prahlad Maharaj came out of his meditation, saw Varuna, and said, Varuna, you, it is you. Can you please help me to meet my Lord? You are such a great devotee of the Lord. Can you please give me the ways how I can meet my Lord and satisfy him like you have done? Varuna thought, he's so great. He said, my dear devotee of the Lord, who am I in comparison? But it is said one can meet the Lord by always thinking of him and never forgetting him. I will give a blessing to you, or I will repeat a blessing to you. When your father will come to you and will bring his sword to kill you, at that time the Lord will come out of a pillar and he will become visible to you. Do not worry. He gave that blessing to Prahlad Maharaj. So Prahlad Maharaj had this blessing of another devotee, Varunji, and he kept that blessing as his greatest treasure within his heart. He had faith all the time. So then, when Hiranyakashipu, it is a long story, you will hear most probably excerpts of it this evening, when Hiranyakashipu finally, I should do like this. So Prahlad Maharaj had this meeting with Varuna, and then he went home to his palace and reported to his father. "What, you're still living?" said Hiranyakashipu. "Who?" You know, he had just thrown him into the ocean, and to make it sure that he would die, they had put stones upon him. By whose strength? By what strength do you defy me? And Prahlad said, "It's the same strength from where you have the strength, Father. It comes from my Lord." "Where is your Lord?" "Always you say, Lord, Lord, Lord. Let us see him. Saving you now, as I will behead you." And he took his sword, very sharp sword, this sword no one could fight with Hiranyakashipu. It was a very, very powerful sword. He took it out and he was about to behead his own son when all of a sudden he heard a terrible sound which struck fear in his heart. Even the most powerful atheist will never be without fear in this world. It's Kuntaloka. So then the Lord, he did not desist. He continued with his threat. And at this moment, the Lord broke forth from the pillar and with a fearful appearance began to battle with Hiranyakashipu. The Lord's ears looked very high up. You know, they were wedge-like, like this. That means high alert. He's really there. If you have seen lions fighting and the ears go up, then you know it's serious. Then his tongue was moving like a dueling's sword. He was showing it, and he was expressing his fierce expression, and he was raising his paws with very sharp and protruding nails, and he was coming towards Hiranyakashipu as he was fighting with the demon who went up into the air and came down upon him with his sword like this. Hiranyakashipu could not only jump, he could fly. He came down. I can almost see it in a movie. Nishingadev looked at him and he laughed a shrill laughter. It was so intense that Hiranyakashipu had to close his eyes. He was becoming so afraid just by hearing the sound of the Lord. Then there was a good fight, which the Lord apparently enjoyed, because he had desired to enter into a fighting bhava. And finally, he killed Hiranyakashipu by tearing him apart on his very lap. We will hear more about it. But I wanted to bring your attention to this one episode. Prahlad Maharaj was asked, "Where is your Lord? Can you show me the Lord?" And Hiranyakashipu didn't expect an answer to this. But Prahlad Maharaj said, "Everywhere. He is everywhere." It is said at this time the Lord was looking out of the pillar and just glancing at Prahlad, but only Prahlad could see. So Hiranyakashipu then pointed towards that very pillar. "Is he there in the pillar?" You say everywhere, but let's be concrete now. Is he there in the pillar? Prahlada, very joyfully, nodded, yes. I will show you that he is not there. And then Hiranyakashipu came towards the pillar and wanted to destroy the pillar to show that the Lord is not there. But the Lord came out before and fought with him and eventually liberated him. But I want to say this faith of Prahlad Maharaj is something, my dear devotees, which you have to ask yourself if you have it. If someone asks you in your life, where's your Lord? Would you say everywhere and be totally fearless? The beginning of your Krishna consciousness is when you understand, when you are conscious of Krishna, that Krishna is everywhere. That is the beginning of Krishna consciousness. There's a very important step which has to be taken by the aspiring devotee. This shraddha or this faith is important. In the beginning, Patanjali describes the beginning stage of faith is when the contamination of doubt has been removed from your heart and a favorable attitude towards the object of your devotion is there and the practice to attain it. You have a favorable attitude towards Krishna. Oh, he's nice. And you have a favorable attitude towards the practice to attain Krishna. Oh, this chanting. I've heard Prabhupada says, again in this purport, the devotee's hope to become fearless is to chant the holy name of the Lord Nrisingadev. You should have some favorable attitude towards that. That's the beginning of faith. But it develops into a nishta, a firm faith. And when you have firm faith, you have, it's described, a complete clarity of the heart. And this shraddha protects the yogi or the devotee like a loving mother. Shraddha, in other words, in the Lord's protection, starts that you are a little favorable towards him in the practice of attaining him. And then the shraddha has to grow into a total clarity of mind. And this shraddha will protect you wherever you are, even at the moment of your death. Like a loving mother who takes a child on the lap and gives the child a feeling of security. This feeling of this clarity in your heart should come about. Test your own Krishna consciousness. How if you are advancing in shraddha. Huh? Ado shraddha. It starts in the beginning with some favorable attitude. But as you advance, there must be a total clarity in your heart. And that will protect you. I remember reading once about a GBC meeting in Srila Prabhupada's presence, where Prabhupada stopped and asked to all the devotees, are you convinced? And you know, when your spiritual master asks you such a question and you know how convinced he is, then you don't want to say, yes, 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 I'm very convinced. You know, you feel a little, let's see what comes next. You know. So, are you convinced? Prabhupada then answered his question, I am convinced, and therefore I'm pushing on in this old age. Old age is not always a very pleasant situation. Sometimes a tooth will be missing the next morning, and you know, some you know, becoming old is for the brave. Prabhupada says, therefore, because of this conviction, this firm vishvasa, vishvasa means faith, huh? Therefore I'm pushing on even in this old age. Hare Krishna. So this is a Shraddha, and it will protect the devotee. It will protect. It is your protection, your protective shield, your faith. A faithful person can not is protected by this. Now, some of you are students of psychology. At least I know one student of psychology here. And I want to now go a little bit into the psychology of faith, because we have heard it so often, and it goes in here and it goes out here, and we think that comes later when I'm old, then I will be very, very convinced. I would like to say, start now in developing your faith, and therefore you need to know about the journey of faith. What will happen in your heart? Well, first of all, you know Patanjali is a great mystic and also devotee. He has written, he's quoted in our tradition, and he's bona fide. He has said that from faith comes virya. Virya is a certain, translates as vigor into the English language, or an energetic endeavor. So when you have some fear of faith, you will become very strong in what you do. You can see that when you were young and you gave up your material life to become a devotee, you had faith that this is good. And I remember my relatives came to me and said, but how will you earn your bread singing and dancing on the street? How noble you are, good Jesus, but how will you earn your bread? No problem. You are a little insecure in your life. You're multimillionaires. Huh? Always insecure. I have faith Krishna will maintain me. And I made the step without thinking of any further old age security money plans. No, not required. I still have that faith. It is, yeah, Krishna takes care. So it is a certain vigor which you have, a psychological vigor. No matter what, it will work. It will somehow work. That is what comes from faith. If you don't have Shraddha, you don't have any strength in your efforts. You will be easily insecure. You will easily be fearful. But when you have Shraddha, you will have that vigor or energetic endeavor, which translates into another Sanskrit word, utsahan. You are enthusiastic. Because you need faith to have enthusiasm, otherwise it won't work. So from this inner strength which you give, which you get by your faith, you get smriti, or an undisturbed mind. That means you always keep the goal of your life in your mind and remember the shastic advices how to obtain that goal, no matter what the great wave of life throws at you. You have that undisturbed mind, or that remembrance in the shastras and in the spiritual perspective. From this, when it condenses more and more, you get samadhi, or undivided concentration, and finally pragya, which is described to be a realization of Krishna. Only the faithful person who makes the journey of faith and completes it will have the darshan of the Lord. And he will also have the ability to distinguish purusha from prakriti. That means this is Patanjali's language, the soul from matter. You will always know, I'm a soul. I'm not of this world. I'm not disturbed by this world, whatever the world throws at me. This is the journey of faith. Faith is so important. And on this Narsingha Chaturdasi, my dear devotees, let us enter this very beautiful episode of Prahlad Maharaj, who was asked by his father, "Where is your God? Let him come and protect you now, when my sharpest sword will behead your tiny little foolish head." Yes, Hiranyakashipu, demon. I think the material nature is often making us headless. and he's always attacking us. And that's faith, that Krishna is with us, that he is there. He's even in the pillar, ready to protect his devotee, ready to come into the perception of his devotee. That faith needs to be... that faith needs to be practiced. Now I will tell you at the end a little story to make my point clear. The point was only the devotee of who has faith in Krishna can be fearless. That is the point. There was once a guru who had disciples, and the disciples were impatient. Like sometimes we ISKCON people are also like this. And they came to the guru, "Teach me the higher things. Teach me the higher knowledge." The guru said, "Yes, I'm willing." But in his heart he felt, "You're not yet ready for the higher esoteric knowledge of our Sampradaya." So the disciples were very impatient. They said, "If you don't teach us, we will leave you." Then the guru said, oh, and he felt very sad. He thought very deeply and he said, "Tomorrow I will make one more test with you. If you can pass the test, that will be glorious for you. Then I give you." So he was in the morning having a full basket full with fruits, and he distributed the fruits to the disciples and said, "You now go with your fruit to a place where no one can see you and eat that no one can see you eating the fruit." So everyone went with a mango, someone had a banana, another had an apple, and found some remote places in the forest. And after a few hours they returned. They brought their brought their fruits with them. Some brought a mango pit. Some brought the banana peel as proof that they had successfully eaten the fruit. Only one was missing. It was Gopal, whom they all thought was a little foolish. So the student said, "We have eaten the fruits. Here you see the remnants of the fruit, the peels and everything. You now have to teach us the last secrets of whatever you can give us." The guru said, "Let us wait for Gopal." "Oh, Gopal is a little foolish." "No, let us wait." Gopal came back and he had the full uneaten fruit with him. He was crying, "Oh, Guruji, oh, I could not fulfill your task. I could not eat the fruit at a place where no one was seeing me, because I didn't find the place where no one can see me. I went to the forest, the deep forest. I went into the cave. I even went behind the waterfall where it falls and where there's a little air still behind the waterfall to the rock. I went there to try to find a place where no one could see me, but I had the feeling Krishna was seeing me everywhere. Therefore, I could not bring this fruit. I could not eat this fruit. Please, you take it back. I cannot pass this test. Well, Guru Maharaj looked at all the other disciples who were paling. We have not understood the first lesson. Our faith is very immature still. We did not believe that Krishna is everywhere and he sees us from everywhere. We did not have this God consciousness. Therefore, Guru Maharaj is insisting that we first learn Sambandha Gyan before teaching much about Prayojana. Oh, he is so right. He is so right and we are so wrong. We are so, so very wrong. And they were chastened by this Gopal and by the test of the Guru. So I think on this day of Nrisimha Chaturthi, we should meditate about Prahlad Maharaj, who answered to the question, where is his God? He's everywhere. We should meditate like this in our lives, and then we will become truly fearless. We will get so much vigor, so much strength in what we do. Our mind will be undisturbed and we remember Krishna at the important crossroads of our lives. We will eventually enter that state of Krishna consciousness where we are always together with Krishna, never separate, and then we will have that full God realization of Krishna in Vrindavan. That will happen. That will certainly come about if you do your journey of faith, like Prahlad Maharaj is teaching us on this very important day. And start with this faith that everything is under the control of Krishna. I had a very good grandmother. A few days before she died, I asked her, "Grandmother, how is it to die?" She said, she was very sweet. He smiled and said, "Oh, Toddy," this is an affectionate name for a grandchild, which the grandmother will use. "Oh, Toddy, when I live, I'm in the right hand of God. When I die, I'm in the left hand of God. Where is the difference? My Lord is everywhere." Now, this is Shraddha. That Shraddha we can learn on Nrisimha Chaturthi. Thank you very much, and please excuse me that I most probably went over time. But when you are a guest who comes only very rare, you no one will curse you so easily as when you are regularly there. And I took this freedom. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Shishi goni tai ki jai. Oh, sorry, Giriraj Maharaj, I see you. Yes, Giriraj Maharaj?
Really, what happens to you Swamis when you get old? And Ratatpada Swami replied that the ant eats one grain a day and he's getting his one grain, and the elephant eats 40 kilos a day and he's getting his 40 kilos. So we are serving God. Don't you think God will provide for us also? And the doctor replied, "That is a very perfect answer. That is true." And then he said, "I believed that when I was a young man. And I lived like that for 20 years of my life. But I couldn't keep it up. At a certain stage, I started to worry. Then I, you know, got qualified as a doctor, and now I have this practice. My question is, how does it happen that someone begins with that faith and then loses confidence in it? And if we do lose confidence, how do we regain that faith?
Thank you very, very much, Maharaj. It is a very, this is our Giriraj Maharaj, very deep Vaishnava. Vishwanath, have you all understood the very well and very timely question, timely in the sense that it is there in the heart of us. It is very relevant. When a person moves from one mindset into the other, he focuses very much on the essence of that new mindset. In other words, when we come from our life, material life, to spiritual life, all we think about really is about spiritual life and our spiritual progress and the spiritual goal which we have. It is, if we wouldn't do that, we would never be able to make the transition from one life to another. Our center of dynamic activity, so to say, which was, I must take care of my life, it changes totally into another center of dynamic activity. I am a servant of Krishna, and Krishna takes care of me. It's a total conversion or total change and so on. But after some time, we notice, my God, we have a body and a mind. We have just in the beginning thought we are the soul. I remember when I was young, I would not put shoes on. I joined when I was 15. I would go barefoot through the winter. I was thinking, I am an eternal soul. The soul is not affected from outside. But after some time, I saw, no, I get cold feet. I also need shoes. That is not in contradiction to our philosophy. I began to understand. So when a devotee joins, he is exclusively focused on the new center of dynamic activity, that is spiritual life, which he understands to be totally different from what he did before. And he doesn't have the same worries any longer. His mind works different. It is working on a totally different faith than he had before. But then this type of, I would say, a surprise comes. Oh no, I'm in the material world still, and I have a physical and emotional needs, and if they are not taken care of in some ways, my spiritual journey will come to a premature end. We think like this. And at that time, we look for a support for our spiritual conviction. And we look for a supportive lifestyle. Now, what can happen at this time is that just like we were imbalanced and just put our cards on only this one thing, we can now become imbalanced in the other way. And the supportive lifestyle, the physical and emotional well-being, which to some degree is necessary and needs care and needs money and also, that becomes an overriding thing, and we go too much into this. So therefore, that does happen in ISKCON. We are known as pendulum swing philosophers. You know, we are on one side and only that, and then we go on the other side and only that. We are not very balanced in our philosophy. That others have observed, and self-critical devotees have seen also. It's a holistic thing. You have to look at many paradigms. For instance, we have this ongoing struggle: Varnashram or not? Should we situate ourselves or not? And I want to give an answer how to live maybe a balanced life. I want to try to do this. Now, this is the most arrogant and foolish statement you might have heard in your life. I want to give an answer how to... It's a difficult thing, but I believe very strongly in the tree of life. A tree has strong roots, a sturdy trunk, and a crown of the tree with fruits, which he abundantly shares with others, together with his shadow. In the same way, I very strongly believe so that we are balanced in our life and balanced in our faith, we need to have strong spiritual roots which go so deep that they reach down to eternity. That's very important, that I'm not the body. I'm a part of Krishna. And we should water these with regular hearing of the Bhagavatam and chanting of the holy name. Strong roots. Then we need some type of sturdy trunk. That means physical and emotional well-being. Doctors have noted that our aging devotees need to put more emphasis on physical well-being, and also sometimes you need emotional well-being means friends, good heart-to-heart discussions in a safe environment where you can express everything. And I think we all of us older devotees who are with you, we know that it's so important. And we also need, now listen to this, a spirit of Daya. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says the main dharma of Vaishnavas is compassion. That responds to the crown of the tree who gives fruits to others. What is a life worth if it's so selfish? We can see those who have only roots but don't care for others. They are only caring for their own spiritual lives in the caves of the Himalayas. They may have an ego problem still. Those who only care for the body and the mind may be healthy animals, you know. And those who only care for serving others, they may become paranoid after some time because they are just so exhausted and so unstrong from giving, so on. So the tree of life, I find, is a good analogy for taking care of everything: roots, trunk, and crown of the tree. Make a check in your life. Are they strong? Are they go really to Prabhupada? Really to knowing the soul? Really knowing to Krishna? That roots, when they are strong, will nourish everything. But take care also of the trunk of the tree. Is my physical body? Have I done my dancing in the kirtan exuberantly? Or walking briskly? Or doing some yoga? Or so on? Have I eaten healthy? Have I gone to have I gone to bed early? You know, if you are a midnight owl, you will come to, you will foul, you know, after some time. Then emotionally, do you have friends? Do you invest in the finer sentiments of human being? Do you pray also? Pray is a good way to put the emotions. And then, are you selfish or are you sharing with others? That check can be done, and then one is balanced.